The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
And you're very welcome back to the Anton Savage Show with Sean Defoe filling in this Sunday morning. Now, we are almost there to the end of the year, the end of 2024, very much coming into view. And it has been an eventful political career all over the world, more than 70 countries holding national elections, ourselves included. Joining me now to reflect on the year in Irish politics is Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at the School of Law and Government at Dublin City University, and Ivan Yates, broadcaster and former Fine Gael minister and my sparring partner on the Calling It podcast. Ivan, this is the longest we've gone without seeing each other now for about 2 months. I don't know how you're coping.
Well, I don't know if I'm actually speaking to you. As you know, I went to a lot of trouble and a lot of expense to organise a Christmas lunch on Friday. And for the first time in my lifetime, someone was a no-show. I don't tolerate excuses, as you know. So I'm doing this under protest this morning because you stood me up and didn't turn up.
You would have been glad I was there coughing with the flu. People can still hear in my voice and I would have ruined your own Christmas. But I'll still take the €5 voucher you were offering towards the lunch. That'd be great. Obviously, look, a big old political year that was. Is it the election, the one that stands out for you or as your biggest moment?
Well, you know, it's all little increments. I think if I was to stand back from it all and say, if you take the local European elections in June and the general election in November, there was a similar pattern. And that was, unlike every other country that I studied right across Europe, I mean, we're looking at the German government collapsed this week, 2 weeks ago, the French government collapsed, and there is no visible route other than paralysis in those countries, Starmer's romping home, the Democrats destroyed in the Senate, in the Congress and in the White House. I mean, for given the three black swan events of COVID and all of the fundamental changes that the pandemic and lockdowns brought about, given all since 2020, what happened with the cost of living with the Ukraine crisis, and given what happened to our trade implications with Brexit, I think it's quite a remarkable achievement that the centre held here, because it didn't hold, or the incumbents didn't hold on anywhere else. So I'm actually looking forward to a situation where you have three groups, the Regional Independent, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, who are like-minded, common-sense, market-orientated approach. They have a wonderful opportunity to confront our infrastructure problems, our planning problems, our public service problems. Like for me, the biggest story of the year is Bikegate. Where is the accountability in the public sector? The other biggest story for me was the 1,600 units being refused planning permission in Clonliffe beside Croke Park. Like these, if I ask myself, because I do a lot of work in the infrastructure construction area as a day job, and I ask myself at the start and the end of each year, are things getting worse? Are things getting better? And the truth is, when it comes to infrastructure delivery and all the things that are going to solve the housing crisis, things are actually getting worse. And I saw no sign in the election that the people get it. But I think they have the capacity to get it. And they have a wonderful opportunity of 5 years to actually make transformational change in terms of accountability of the public service, in terms of public service reform. I mean, when I look back at Leo's tenure, the migration dial was completely changed by Harris. Leo had a laissez-faire approach. And the other thing that's not been spoken about is productivity in the public service from working from home is nigh short of disastrous. And no one's even talking about it in terms of the performance of the public service. So what I'm hoping is that we have a really powerful duo now who are completely in charge of their parties, respectively, Micheál and Simon. I think they're really going to work well together because they're not going to be competing against each other in November 29 when the next general election is. And I think they have a wonderful opportunity to make meaningful change because we are all living in the lap of these corporation tax receipts. And that is not the time to take your eye off the ball, either with the existential threats forward making government better for the people.
Gary Murphy, DCU, thanks for coming into the studio with us and happy Christmas to you.
Sean.
Looking back on 2024 for you, do you agree and Ivan there as to what the big picture stuff was, or was it all election? What was your big takeaway?
Yeah, I think one would have to say the general election is the most important event of the political year. simply because general elections only come around once every 5 years, and it's the opportunity to have a say on who governs us for the next 5 years. So I heard people talking the week that, oh, it was terribly dull and, you know, the referendums were more important than the general election, which is complete nonsense in my view, because this is the opportunity to, for all citizens to say, yes, I want to keep the government, or no, I want to get in a new government. I agree nearly with all of Ivan's points. I work in the public sector, so I mightn't agree with that one. But beyond that, certainly the centre holding is a huge international story for Ireland. The centre holds for a variety of different reasons. The electoral system makes it quite difficult, I think, for a change in government. You know, with transfer patterns between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael quite strong. And from the moment Fianna Fáil and Micheál Martin in particular said he wouldn't do business with Sinn Féin in any way, shape or form, and the way the polling was going, it was almost inevitable that we would have Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and some third leg to that particular stool. One of the big stories for me was the, I don't know if collapse is too strong a word, but perhaps it is the right word, in the Sinn Féin vote. I mean, Mary Lou MacDonald must look back to sort of, even this time last year, the Sinn Féin start to slide in the poll begins sort of late winter last year. Obviously, the response to the Dublin riots, and then throughout 2024, the numbers just keep going down. Now, she in particular, I think, had a very good general election because she's very good on the campaign trail. I mean, to be frank, she's better on the doorstep than she is in studios. I mean, she had a rough time here in News Talk with Jay Corbyn and others. RT, she had one or two difficult moments. She was okay in the debates, I thought. But I think to herself, she must think at some stage, where did it all go wrong? Now, as I said, the local and European results were so disastrous, I don't think anyone could have seen 11%. So the rise to 20% and 40 seats is reasonably good, I think. But yeah, part of me thinks she must say, God, I could have been Taoiseach.
Yeah, it's a weird one to compare them to, because you compare them to 18 months ago when they were 36%, or compare themselves to when they were in August.
11%.
In June, or even mired in the Brian Stanley, Niall O'Donoghue, and Michael McMonagall, all that sort of stuff that came just a few weeks before the election. Because if you take it from that reference point, they actually did pretty well.
Well, indeed, yeah. And it's where do you look at the base. But I did a bit of work for a book that's coming out in the new year, How Ireland Voted 2024. A bunch of us political scientists get together. But
I had the 2020 version on my nightstand for half of the campaign.
I think Ivan must have them going back since 1987 when we first started. I've been writing about it since 2002. But I was looking at the poll numbers, and Sinn Féin were so consistent at about 35, 36 for the guts of a whole year between 2022 and summer of 22, summer of 23. I mean, really consistent. And one would have thought, you know, there is no way Sinn Féin at... And they were at 36%, I think, for five polls in a row. 36% got Fine Gael 76 seats in 2011, six or seven short of a majority. And there's no reason, if Sinn Féin can get 36%, that they couldn't have got over 70 seats, as Ivan and you have talked about at some length in your constituency podcast. So, but they didn't. Mm. They got 20%, and 20% gets you in our system in around 40 seats. Now, you could, it's one of the interesting things about the election is 1% more for Fianna Fáil has them 10 seats higher than Fine Gael, and the dynamic, I think, will change in government because of that.
Ivan, on that Sinn Féin question, because there's some speculation in the paper today, Mary Lou MacDonald's going to do a significant reshuffle, move the likes of Eoghan O'Brien, Piers Doherty maybe to new portfolios, or certainly keep them on their toes that she's going to do that. If you're her now and you're saying, okay, we held it together all right in the election, we've come back pretty much where we were plus inflation, but there's no clear path to government. How do they build towards that?
Well, first of all, I want to agree with Gary that the Sinn Féin story over the last 2 years is quite significant. And in fact, if you go back to the 2020 election, they got 24.5% of the vote. They got, was it 19-20% this time around. So they've actually gone backwards at a time when I said the international context is every incumbent is getting it in the neck. And they have to reflect on a few things. As we've discussed many times, I think the hardcore working class resistance to migration and the unfair, disproportionate placement of migrants in cheaper areas of accommodation, I think was an area that provided an existential crisis for them. Do they go the route of the racist or do they go the route of the progressive? They chose the latter. A lot of credit is due to them for no far-right TD being elected. And I think that should be genuinely acknowledged. I've always said that Sinn Féin's route to power is with Fianna Fáil. I absolutely believe that. It was never possible under Micheál Martin government or party. I think that will change at some point in the future. But they both have an aspirant working class base and ethos. Fine Gael's ethos is more free enterprise, meritocracy, even middle income, self-employed, farmers and so on. That would be my observation over the years. And look, there's not a cigarette paper between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. And as long as the sort of duality holds, and it's working so well for both of them in terms of transfer bonuses of seats, the sum of the parts is much more than if they were one part. So all of that's true. For Sinn Féin, you know, changing some of the spokespersons, they might be less effective, who knows, but I get the staleness argument that you need to freshen it up. Mary Lou's own position, 5 years is a long time. Anderson's town may take a few, but I think you're better with a woman and you're certainly better with a Dublin leader. So I don't see a circumstance where really Piers Doherty would enhance the offering in urban Ireland where their strongest competition is. And from this point of view of opposition left politics, Sinn Féin are much worse off because they were de facto the only opposition. There's a few independents, the Healy Rays and Massey, but they were the opposition. And now you have two new revitalised soft left parties who have cannibalised the Greens in the Soc Dems and Labour who are going to be trying to compete for that left wing vote. So even if you hate Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin don't have a slam dunk there. But I honestly believe that if Mary Lou wants to be a minister and David Cullinan and Eoin Óibrin, their route has to be through Fianna Fáil, in my opinion.
That view you share, Gary?
I would share that view, but I would be maybe less sanguine than Ivan in the fact that, there's no hope with Micheál Martin as leader of Fianna Fáil, and I'm not sure there would be much hope with the next leader of Fianna Fáil either. Now, that could be Dara Ryan, it could be Jack Chambers, who seems to be the anointed one of Micheál Martin, but as we know, leaders don't always get what they want. So the next leadership of Fianna Fáil, that battle will, I think, be quite important, because I think Fianna Fáil now will have settled into coalescing with Fine Gael, to go to Ivan's point about there being very little difference between them. It was a big culture shock and a big shift for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to go in together in 2020. I think people underestimate that, the histories, the cultures, the politics. And maybe it was COVID forced them together because, as we know, Leo Varadkar said, might have been in the studio, that he would relish the opportunity of going into opposition all those years ago, and COVID sort of forced Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael together. So the route to power for Sinn Féin could be quite difficult if the next leader also says, well, this Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael thing is working perfectly well for us, and the centre is not that keen on moving left for Sinn Féin. And then there's debate about whether Sinn Féin is really left or not comes into play. But what I think we can say is that a left-wing government that doesn't include Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael is pretty far away still, in my view, because it wouldn't take too much significant shifts for that soft left vote that Ivan talked about to drop some seats. Mm. You know, Labour and Soc Dems both had very good elections, winning 11 seats. They both increased their vote by about 3%, doubling their vote really to about 6-7%. Wouldn't take much for that to drift away. So,
no, and they also, like, the combined Green Soc Dem Labour this time is 23, and it was 24 in the last all. So it's not like there's this groundwell of support towards the centre left is coming out of nowhere. They've just eaten the Greens.
And that's 174 TDs. Mm. You know what I mean? So that is, it's a block, but it's not a very large block. And always the problem for the soft left is this attack on them from the far left. Mm. Now, the far left were, let's be frank about it, roasted in the general election, coming back with just 3 TDs, and we saw the split already. I mean, the jokes write themselves when Richard Boyd Barrett and Ru Coppinger voted in different ways on the election of Mary Lou MacDonald as Taoiseach back on Tuesday. I mean, in one way, it's kind of laughable that they couldn't have agreed beforehand that what they were going to do as a block of three. And I'd see no great future for the far left, like, notwithstanding their complaints. And the working class thing is interesting, that Ivan alluded to, and Sinn Féin's difficulties, which I agree, those working class bases, that they are very strong in Cork North Centre, let's say, Ballymun, where DCU is, in Dublin North West, where Dizzy Ellis gets a huge vote. But the working classes historically in this country voted Fianna Fáil, and many of them still do, especially older people. And that vote is, I mean, it's very diffuse now, and it could go literally anywhere, and there's no guarantee that it will automatically flow to Sinn Féin over the next few years. So that's been one of the highlights for me, that sort of looking at how it all kind of seeped away for Sinn Féin's chances of getting into power.
Mm. Let's do a round then, gents, of winners and losers of 2024 before we head. Ivan, your winners of this year?
Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, absolutely clear winners. They even take the last week, how they dealt with their parliamentary parties in relation to Verona Murphy, how they're dealing with Lowry, how they're manipulating the situation. They're the only show in town. It's not a good time to be a dissenter in Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil if you're looking to advance your career. So they're the clear winners. And I think something significant has happened, which is just recent, which is that when Leo, very surprisingly, and I think no one was more shocked than Micheál Martin when he left the scene, and he was perplexed by why would you give it all up? And basically, his relationship with Harris was, who is this upstart, this running around the country, claiming to be energetic, sort of on the contrast principle, I'm older and less energetic. And then you get to the first 10 days of the campaign, of the kind of warfare between FF and FG, which completely baffled FF. And now to a situation where I think Micheál, you know, he's the longest serving leader, bar Dev, for Fianna Fáil. He's not going to be going much beyond the 3-year period as Taoiseach. I think his highlight will be the EU presidency in the latter half of 2026. He's not competing with Harris anymore. And they are of a different generation. One is 37, one is 64. So the way I see it is, they actually are now in quite a harmonious place. They have a common interest of making this government work and making it stable. And then it'll all kick off in 3 years' time when a new upstart comes into the leader's situation and the tensions between Taoiseach and Taoiseach and all that good stuff. But I actually think that relationship now is by the day improving, it becoming more trust-related, and I think they can achieve a lot together.
Mm. Gary, your winner is 2024?
Yeah, I would say Micheál Martin over Simon Harris, because I think, again, a part of Simon Harris must think, you know, I got a real good bounce when I became Taoiseach. And then that's one story perhaps we didn't touch on, Leo's shock resignation. I mean, you don't really resign. I mean, I was very critical of him at the time, a couple of months out from the local and Europeans. And I know he, in a rare act of self-awareness for a senior politician, said, look, it's not working for me and it's not working for Fine Gael with me in charge. So perhaps kudos to him there. But that was a big shock event. And as Ivan said, certainly to Micheál. But Harris must think, you know, we were at 27% just before the election, when maybe his energy was at its height. And that energy did, I mean, he obviously overextended himself in the campaign. And, you know, politicians, like everyone else, need to sleep as well. And he probably wasn't getting very much of it. And whatever about the Cantor thing, which, of course, can happen to anybody in the high pressure of an election campaign. I mean, they did lose significant chunks of support. I mean, I think then the budget was probably a miscalculation. There's rumours that Pascal Dunne didn't want to put his name to that budget, you know, to give away welfare payments and tax cuts and whatever. So I think there's some context there. So I would say Micheál Martin more than Simon Harris. And on the loser front, I mean, we talked about Mary Lou MacDonald there. I do think it's been a bad year for the far left, as I alluded to as well. And the sort of, giving, you know, I think most people who think sanely, the fact that the far right made no breakthrough, I think, is significant.
Well, I was just going to come, because it's kind of a half and half year for them, wasn't it? In that there was the breakthrough of, what was it, 6-odd councillors in the locals, and we thought it was going one way, and then that completely,
but it's six-odd
against all the narrative.
But it's flipped. 6-odd councillors out of 949. Mm. And I think sometimes people forget that. And certainly there are pockets of the state which are very disadvantaged, and where people are very disaffected with the political political alternatives on offer, whether they're centre-right or centre-left, and are then tempted to go far-right or far-left. We saw a little bit of that. But in the really important election, the general election, I mean, I, for instance, I would have thought that they had a chance in Dublin North West, where the university is, and they completely bombed out there. I thought they might have had a chance in one of the Cork City constituencies, again, pretty north-central. That didn't happen. And I think that... People saw through them, to be perfectly frank, peddling false solutions to complex problems that were not there.
And Ivan, your favourite bit now, the losers.
Well, I do agree that the far left, they were seen as just rhetorical. The transfer of Breed Smith's seat didn't work out. McBerry lost his seat. You know, Kenny lost his seat. You know, you can't dress this up. The fire and brimstone, Richard Boyd Barrett, just isn't cutting it anymore. And... put it like this, I much more tend to look forward, and I do think your last discussion, the last hour about Trump is really significant. Let's be clear, politics follows economics. And the Irish situation is completely an outlier because of the corporation tax. And whatever the next government need to do to keep the golden goose laying the eggs of 30 plus billion, like if that goes wrong on either the pharmaceutical side or on the tech side, Ireland's in trouble because we've put a new superstructure of expenditure right across the board in place, based predicated on it lasting forever. And we could be, and it would be wrong to have a review of the year saying that we could face an existential fiscal exchequer crisis because of corporation tax. And by God, you know, the wrath of the public, you know, we never promised this, like 2007. You never told us the crash was coming. And I don't see a global economic crash. I just see a specific problem with the US corporate boardrooms moving against Ireland.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch, and one of the big stories, I would say, of 2025. Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at the School of Law and Government, Dublin City University. Thanks for coming in, and
thanks,
a very happy Christmas
you
to you. And Ivan, a very happy Christmas to you as well. Pleasure locking swords with you on many episodes of the podcast this year.
And I want to thank you for all the invaluable work you did. Like, I was given on Friday a copy of what we call the Election Bible, and the 686 candidates, the work you did, Sean, was truly remarkable. And I got all the credit as usual, but you did all the work.
I estimated about every 3 out of every 5th mount out of your word I wrote. So I'll take that as a good as a good takeaway. Thanks for that, Ivan. And look, it was a pleasure working with you as well. It was good crack all throughout, and hopefully people enjoyed it.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.